Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce announced their engagement last week, and the betrothal caused a swirl of fan reactions. Most were supportive, but a small minority were problematic. A section of Swifties full-heartedly believed, and still believe, that Taylor and Travis's relationship was manufactured as a PR romance.
Hayley Williams also recently released an album with a closing track entitled Parachute, in which fans believe she describes the end of her most recent relationship with fellow Paramore bandmate Taylor York. And while most fans reacted to the music at face value, some fans seemed as though they were watching their parents get divorced.
These are just two recent examples of fans having incredibly personal reactions to things that should be immaterial to their actual lives. Some experts would call these parasocial relationships.
So, what are parasocial relationships, and where should we draw the line between normal and unhealthy behavior? I'm Jason Acuna.
I'm Rihanna Winter.
And this is Unbothered by WFSU. So, Rihanna, obviously you've seen the news about America's number one couple.
Yeah, some people are calling this a potential royal wedding between Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce. I don't think you and I are calling it that.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm supportive of it, but not everyone is.
Yeah, not everyone has been. I mean, some fans throughout this entire relationship between Taylor and Travis thought that it was just for PR, that they were just doing this in order to boost Taylor's album sales and boost Travis's popularity and notoriety. And so they've taken this engagement particularly harsh.
Yeah, because if you believe they're in a fake relationship, a fake engagement is a step further, creating a little bit of cognitive dissonance for some people.
So all the negative reactions I was seeing online regarding Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce's engagement made me want to learn more about what type of relationships people are making up in their own mind that would give them such a strong negative reaction to someone else finding happiness. So we reached out to a professor who has researched parasocial relationships in order to learn more.
Sure. My name is Dr. Ariane Fascio. I'm an associate professor in the School of Communication at Florida State. And my area of research expertise is in new and emerging media, especially with regards to entertainment. So I love to look at storytelling in the new media age, parasocial relationships, of course, and just anything related to being entertained with new media.
My first question for you is, what is a parasocial relationship?
Yeah, it's a great question, because what's crazy about it is when I started studying parasocial relationships, nobody knew what it was at all. So it's very strange to now see it being discussed in the quote-unquote real world outside of academia. But the definition is a little bit different, I think, than what most people understand it as, because I think when you hear parasocial relationships talked about in popular press, it is always discussed as this really negative thing, like, oh, you're being parasocial right now or something like that, when it's sort of this idea that somebody's being too close to a celebrity or someone on social media or something like that. But in fact, parasocial relationships have been around for a long time. The article everybody always cites came out in 1956 to give you an idea of how long we've been talking about this. And it's essentially this one-sided relationship between a media persona and an audience member that has the illusion that it's two-sided. So a lot of the early work in parasocial relationships was looking at newscasters or the home shopping network people. And so these are people who often are talking directly to camera and using very inclusive language, especially like newscasters, if they're local newscasters, are talking about like our community and what we're doing and things like that. And so it gives this illusion that it's two-sided, because they're talking to you, you're talking to, you might talk back. And we do see evidence of that, that people do talk back. And it's just kind of a thing people do. If we think about the long history of evolutionary biology, evolution happens very, very, very slowly. But media happens very, very quickly. And so we go from only having social relationships to this possibility of parasocial relationships very, very, very fast. And our brains don't evolve fast enough to understand that it's kind of a different thing. So it is, in fact, something that everybody does. And it's not just with, quote, real people. It's also with fictional characters. We see this a lot with, like, horror movies where I like to watch horror movies a lot, but I'll be the first to admit that people don't have good decision-making in horror movies. So if, like, a killer is coming in and you're running up the stairs, I might be like, girl, what are you doing? You know, right. And talking to them, even though obviously they can't hear you, but it's all that same kind of idea.
Yeah. So, and it's interesting that you include the, like, inclusive language. In some ways, you're right that it's natural. If a person is talking to us or if they're revealing personal things about their lives, it makes us feel closer to them. It just happens that we might not even have to know them at all in person for us mm-hmm. to develop that relationship.
So if we think about, like, celebrity, I mean, this idea of a celebrity obviously has been around a very, very long time. But one of the things I always think about is sort of the golden age of Hollywood in the studio era, where you have these stars that are, their whole lives are, like, curated, kind of. But people take a lot of interest in it, which is, in fact, the whole reason they're curating their lives in such a way, because they want people to have a certain reaction to them or a certain relationship with those stars. And now that we've sort of moved on to a different era of entertainment, on some level, it's still true. Like, if you're watching streamers or celebrities or whatever, that they want to facilitate some level of parasocial relationship, because if people don't have a relationship with you, they're not going to continue to watch. They're not going to pick up your albums. They're not going to engage with your content. So it's more of a scale issue or a degree of parasocial relationship issue rather than whether people have them at all, if that makes sense.
So going off of that a little bit, with the recent Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce engagement, mm-hmm. a lot of the fan base for that relationship was very happy for the engagement, but there was a certain section, and one I specifically want to get your reaction to, a section of fans from a subreddit called r/Gaylor. And so a subreddit is a community on the social media site Reddit dedicated to a specific topic or interest with the format r/name. And so this subreddit was defined by themselves as a curated sub dedicated to the queer interpretation of Taylor Swift's discography and public image. So essentially they would listen to Taylor Swift's music and they kind of believed that Taylor Swift was a member of the queer community and was putting subliminal hints in her music and in her outfits and in every aspect of her life, really, that this was her true identity. And this is despite the fact that Taylor Swift has had 13 confirmed public relationships with men. So it would seem that a lot of what she's put out there is going in one direction and this fan base is going in another. And so this fan base had quite the reaction to the news of the engagement.
Yeah. One example of that would be if Taylor Swift happens to wear a shirt that's black and white stripes. They're like, oh, she feels like she's imprisoned in this relationship. So that's kind of, and it is actually a pretty big community that mm-hmm. developed together almost through a shared kind of confirmation bias that kind of spiraled out of control.
Yeah, I mean, I think I hadn't heard of that specific subreddit, or I gotta admit, I don't follow all that much. Obviously, I knew about the engagement because I don't think it was possible to not know. But
right.
I think on some level, it is, as I said, you know, people can have parasocial relationships with fictional characters, right? Mm-hmm. And it almost seems to be that sort of thing, a fictionalized version of Taylor Swift based on discography or based on what they perceive in the discography. And then when that sort of idea is directly contradicted, then it's a little bit personal almost, feels a little personal, because when we think about things like fandom, you obviously have the parasocial part of it, but you also have the fan identity part, right? So being a fan, and sometimes being a fan in a specific way, can be a part of your own identity. And so we see this in all sorts of stuff, right? Superhero movies, comic books, music, you know, the whole idea of the Swifties, right, is not only are you saying with that that I like Taylor Swift's music, but also I am a fan of Taylor Swift, right? And that's a different thing. It's a little bit subtle, right? But it's a different thing. And so you have, I think, these two ideas of parasocial relationships and fan identity kind of interacting in a way that has caused some cognitive dissonance where you have to now have two opposing ideas in your mind, right? On one hand, you've sort of built this identity that I'm a part of the Gaylor community where I am looking at these sort of ideas and I'm looking into it in this way. And, you know, maybe even come to actually believe that that is the truth, despite, as you have said, no, I mean, there's been no direct evidence, I would say. And so you have that fan identity and then it's coming into conflict with the actual person, right? Because she's now engaged to a man, that becomes uncomfortable, right? So you have this cognitive dissonance. And the thing about cognitive dissonance is that none of us like it. We don't want to have it. We want to get rid of it in some way. And so now you have to figure out, how do I get rid of this cognitive dissonance? One idea that I'm holding has to change. So is it going to be, well, I'm going to admit that all my analysis was wrong? Or is it going to be, you know, some negative attitude towards the engagement news? And I think that's probably what we're seeing.
Absolutely. And I believe you touched on this a little bit so far, but are parasocial relationships inherently unhealthy? Or I know you said that we all kind of have them. Do they reach a point of being unhealthy? Or are there other aspects that get involved that make it unhealthy?
Yeah, this is a great question. I do not believe that parasocial relationships are inherently unhealthy. As I said, everyone pretty much has parasocial relationships on some degree. Some people are more prone to form those attachments more strongly than others, just like some people are more prone to form strong attachments with social relationships, right? So, no, having a parasocial relationship on its own is not anything to be concerned about. It is something that most everyone does, even on some level. And I should also point out that you can also have parasocial hate, like where people really don't like someone. Mm. And my example of this when I'm teaching is always Joffrey from Game of Thrones. That is a character that we all like sort of universally hated. And that is still a parasocial relationship. It's just like in real life, you can hate somebody. You can also parasocially hate somebody. Does become problematic when it's a real person. People get sent death threats and things like that. But I think most people, 99 times out of 100, people have parasocial relationships and it's fine, you know? I have a lot of friends who would count themselves as Swifties, are very much, you know, a part of that community, and it's fine, right? I think when it becomes a problem is when it's in some way maladaptive, right? So either you have a situation where you are so obsessed that real life kind of falls to the wayside. And I don't mean for like a little bit while you're engaging with the media. Like we all do that where we're like watching a really good movie or reading a really good book and everything kind of falls to the side. I mean like over an extended period of time where you're not able to do anything because you're so focused on this parasocial relationship. That, of course, is a problem. And then, of course, when people try to move parasocial relationships into social relationships, it's typically not great because what they forget is that, yes, you may know a lot about this person, but you actually don't know this person, mm-hmm. right? And so there are countless examples of, you know, YouTubers or streamers saying people showed up at my house or, you know, they followed me around while I was walking my dog. I mean, even Queen Elizabeth had a guy break into her house to come talk to her, right? And that house was Buckingham Palace, you know? Right. So this is a thing that can certainly happen. And that is, of course, something to be concerned about. But I think it's, you know, and I'm not a clinical psychologist by any means, but whenever you are feeling like, okay, I can't focus on real life, then that is when it's becoming a problem.
This is also something that you touched on earlier, mm-hmm. that to a certain degree, celebrities do want to kind of cultivate a parasocial relationship so that people want to come back and continue to consume their art and their content. But is it always kind of cultivated, or is it also kind of a natural consequence of fame and artistry that people will develop these relationships with you?
So I think certainly for a lot of famous people, you do see some level of cultivation of parasocial relationships. They are trying to cultivate it, right? So that includes, you know, on their Instagram, sharing information, or, you know, on social media, saying like, oh, these are my favorite things that I like. Could be a sponsorship thing, right? Or it could be a genuine, like, this is the stuff I like. Mm-hmm. Going on interviews and sharing information, oftentimes like for movies and stuff. I was just watching last night some interviews about with the cast of Alien Earth, because mm-hmm. I've been watching that show, which is really great, you know?
Good show.
And they are revealing information about themselves that you wouldn't know by watching the show, because the show is, of course, a fictional thing, right? Well, why do that on a press tour? Why are these people sharing any information about themselves at all, right? Right. It is because on some level they want to seem like nice, cool people that you want to go and support, right? And I think so there's always, or often at least, some level of, I want you to have some sort of relationship with me. But is it inherent? Not necessarily. There are people who have been very, very successful about whom we know next to nothing, right? Right. You know, so there are people who are in those industries but still very private. And that does inhibit some level of parasocial relationships, just because one of the way we build relationships is by self-disclosure, learning more about other people by them sharing, right? That's how we build friendships too. So if you're never getting that information, it is harder to build a truly parasocial relationship. And this is also why I say being a fan is different from having a parasocial relationship, because you can be a fan of somebody's music or their acting or whatever, but you're like, I don't know anything about this person. I wouldn't call them, you know, my parasocial friend.
Yeah, I would say that's my orientation a lot of times. It's like, oh, I like this song by this artist, but mm-hmm. I have no idea anything about them, especially not their children's names.
Yeah.
But I guess some people have more of a predilection to kind of doing that, especially maybe even it might be circumstantial, like mm-hmm. at a time in your life.
Yeah,
that you discover someone you feel like you relate to and like mirrors you back to yourself.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely true. I do think that, as I said, there are some people who are just more prone to forming closer parasocial relationships than others. Some people form parasocial relationships easier with certain types of people than others, or certain types of entertainers than others. For instance, I'm not much for forming attachments with, I guess, like traditionally famous people, because I'm like, well, they have like a talent. I'm here for their talent and that's it. Yeah. Whereas like if you're watching somebody on social media, it feels a little bit more of a personal kind of connection. I'm still not showing up at anybody's house, by the way. I just want to say, like, maybe I'll, like, meet them if they're at a con or something like that. That's about as far as I'm going to go. Right. So to your other point about it being, you know, even contingent on a certain period of your life, the example I always think of, I had a friend in high school who had the initials of a celebrity engraved on their class ring. And we were like, why? You know, but I get it now that I study this kind of thing. But it was because that person was important at that point in their life, because they related to them or because they saw something in them. And I have a lot of friends who have strong connection to like one celebrity. A good friend of mine who's a professor at University of Tennessee loves Britney Spears. And so we're always having conversation about Britney Spears, even though I am more indifferent, I suppose. I don't hate Britney Spears, if you're listening, Minch, I'm sorry. But, you know, I don't have that strong parasocial relationship either. But yeah, I think it can be contingent on a lot of stuff, on just your headspace at that time, your age, just the types of relationships you naturally form.
How do you feel about And I think you kind of alluded to this earlier, talking about media moving a lot faster than human evolution, and the internet giving people, and social media specifically, giving people incredible access at all times of the day to celebrities or even just to influencers or whoever wants to build a following online and build fans and parasocial relationships online. Do you feel like that's kind of increased the level of people who might develop a parasocial relationship, especially now that you can be in a community of people who all have this relationship?
Yeah, I do think so, yeah. And I think that we're also seeing sort of, not a backlash, but sort of like a rebound where people, when social media was a little bit newer, all these celebrities were putting a lot more out there. Because it's sort of a new thing. Nobody really understood when MySpace was big what social media would become. And I almost see, and this is totally anecdotal, I don't have research on this per se, but even with like influencers and things like that, where you see this sort of trajectory where early on in their careers, they share a lot and they talk a lot about, oh, here's the city where I live and here's what I do on a day-to-day and all that. And then now it's almost, they're sort of locking it down where they're not talking about those things anymore as a sort of protective mechanism. Because again, nobody wants people showing up at their house. And I find that a very interesting trend because I think it shows exactly what you're talking about, where social media allowed so much access and people were just sharing so much access and even things like sharing their kids and things like that. And then evaluated later saying, oh, these were maybe the effects and I wasn't super happy with that, so we're gonna pull back. And so now I find actually that a lot of famous people, celebrities, influencers, wherever they sort of fall on that spectrum, share a lot less information online to sort of distance themselves a little bit.
Yeah, especially because you can also develop parasocial haters.
Yes.
Who will do everything to kind of come after you if they have personal information. So
yeah, we've seen things like doxing and swatting, right, where people have called in and saying like, oh, this person has, they're doing something really bad. And then the SWAT team kicks in the door, right? That's so dangerous. And that is a reaction to that sort of parasocial hate a lot of times. I mean, sometimes people are just jerks and they just want chaos. But sometimes it is a reaction to that sort of, I really hate this person that I don't really know.
Yeah,
right.
Absolutely. Well, Professor, thank you so much for joining us for this conversation. I think we learned a lot about parasocial relationships and what might be going on with these fan reactions to the celebrity news that seems to always keep coming. So thank you for joining us.
Yeah, of course. Thanks for having me.
Unbothered is produced, edited, and hosted by Jason Acuna. Also hosted by Rihanna Winter. Audio engineering by Taylor Cox and Evan Rossi. Executive producers Regan McCarthy and Lynn Hatter. And brought to you by WFSU Public Media.